Hallelujah. How many love Jesus out there? Well, let's make a joyful noise one more time for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I just love the Word of God. He talks about entering into His gates with thanksgiving or enter into His courts with praise. And if something happens when your heart is open and you rightfully view God. Are you with me? Something happens when you magnify the Lord, when you lift Him up higher than the situation that you're facing. So many times, see, the devil wants to keep us focused on this age and these problems and what you're going through, maybe physical or family or emotional, because when things are at the front of your vision, you can't rightfully see God in His rightful place. And I declare what was happening today in service was God was removing everything that was blocking your vision of who He is. How many know that you serve a big God? Amen. Is He bigger than cancer? That's five people. I need everyone to believe. Is He bigger than diabetes? Amen. Is He greater than arthritis? Amen. How about marital problems? What are you going through? What are you facing in life that's really small, but you're looking at it from the wrong perspective? When you're in an airplane and you look down on a city, it looks like a Lego block. Are you with me? See, what you're dealing with is really small. You've just been focused on it too long. And the Lord told me this week when I was in prayer that He's doing something in the body of Christ that's already happened here at Zion. It's been happening for a long time now. But He said He desires to do what's happening here all throughout America, all throughout the churches. And it's going to happen when the church get in unity with the bride. Come on now, let me hear. Go to Psalms 133, verse 1 to 3. So oftentimes we think unity is just being in the same place. When we think of city transformation, we think of just getting together with other people and for a moment, and then we focus on God for a moment, and then we go back to our lives. But there's a unity that's coming that's actually here now. That is going to bring forth, somebody say, the blessing. Not a blessing. See, sometimes we get focused on a blessing. Lord, provide my house. Lord, provide my need. Lord, we have this long list of things that are a blessing. But there is the blessing that's coming that comes forth out of unity. Watch this. Somebody say, behold. Behold means, what is this? Can you imagine you just walk in and all of a sudden something just pops out that's huge in your face? And it causes you to stop and wonder. Are you with me? So when He says, behold, He says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Somebody say unity. Amen. Dwell means to live there. Hallelujah. I'm moving in. I made a decision. I'm going to move in to this place called unity. He says, it's like the precious oil upon the head that runs down upon the beard of Aaron, and it went down to the skirt of his garment as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew descends upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commands the blessing. Somebody say, I'm there. There, where's there? In unity. When I'm in unity, not physically, but when the bride is united and we see God rightfully where He is and we respond to what we see. Are you with me? When we're together and we see Him in his glory and His beauty, and we see how God not only loves Himself, and how God loves Jesus. How many know the Father loves Jesus? I mean, He really loves Jesus. He's so obsessed with Jesus. He's so obsessed with Holy Spirit. Guess what? He's also obsessed with you. The Bible says, what is man that he's so mindful of us? You know, God can't help but to think about you. So many times we go into rooms and as was prophesied, spoken earlier, we're in the shadow. And we think that this is all we are. We're in this place where nobody sees me, nobody hears me. But God says, no, you've been smeared with my presence. You've been covered with my oil. He says, I delight in you. I call you beautiful and wonderful. God keeps you at the center of his mind. See, if God keeps me, I don't know about you, but I'm God's favorite. God doesn't know, he doesn't love nobody like he loves me. I mean, he's obsessed with me. My eyes open, he says, good morning, Derek. He's right there. Are you with me? You know, he can love everyone as his favorite. Are you with me? He loves me with his whole heart. He loves you with his whole heart. His heart is so big. The song we're singing, how wide, how deep is your love? You know, it's endless. You can search and search. You can swim and swim. You'll never get to the banks of his love. His love, when you dive in, it keeps going and going and going. Are you with me? So if his heart's that big and he says, you know, I can love you to the fullness that you can believe it. I'm about to blow somebody's mind now because you set the limits on how far God can love. You, not God. I'm looking for somebody that would dare say, God, I'm going to take the roof off of my heart, and how far can I go in you? And you'll find yourself not only falling in love with God, but you'll find yourself falling in love with people. You'll find yourself loving your neighbor as yourself. You know what? I love me, but what happens when I look at you and say, boy, I love you like I love me. The way I want to survive, I need you to survive. Are you with me? See, that's the overflow of loving God. When you love God with the fullness, when you see God and you begin to love God like that, it becomes a flow that comes down to your heart. And from your heart, it just like a rivers. It's rivers that flow out. So many times we think rivers is just for prophetic stuff. But hear me now. There's a river of love that's coming from you. There's streams that are coming from you, not only to people that you like. Come on now. When you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. He made a decision to love you when you were smelling like Bud Light. When you were dragging your right foot and didn't want nothing to do with God, he said, you're worthy of it all. I know we sing it, God, you're worthy of it all. But God says, guess what? You're worthy of it all. I'll give the best of heaven for the worst of earth. Somebody's going to catch it. See, when we think of the worst of earth, we think of Hitler. But what about you? You know every dark thought you had. You know every emotion that you had. You know every time you said bless you to someone, you wanted a brick to fall on their head. God bless them with a brick. Come on now. Are you with me? But he says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he says in verse 3, for there the Lord commands the blessing. Where's there? Unity. So God says, I'm looking to release something that goes beyond your individual love and your individual desires, but yet you can individually appreciate it, but it's for the corporate. Are you with me? Say, I'm there. There he will command the blessing. Look at Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 30. I'm going to show you that the blessing is God himself. Lord, bless me, bless me. God says, I'm trying. You know, the blessing is not, you know, it's stuff. Treasures rust. I mean, it's great to have a nice car, but how many people feel the same way about their 1982 car right now? Unless you're a car collector. How about shoes? You bought a pair of shoes. Oh, Lord, bless me with the shoes. Now you cut grass in them. Think about that. So it has to go beyond stuff. There's a blessing. There is the blessing that will not rust or decay. There is the blessing that will not be discarded. Are you with me? There's something that is the blessing that keeps up with time. I only know men that got the same underwear they had in 1980. They feel the same way about them underwear. Don't you throw those away. My wife got all kinds of shoes. I got five. There's squares in the closet somewhere. Are you with me? So it's not about stuff. Here in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Say all. He said, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream, and your young men will see visions. God is waking up those that are dreamers. Do you understand that a dream, it gives direction? It's like the blueprint to what young people need. Young men and young women are going to have visions. They're going to see things clearly as they encounter God. I don't know why you don't come to youth camp. Let me tell you. You thought this worship session was hot? Boy, there's something about when you get up there to play instruments and people are already lifting up Jesus. I'm not making this up. There's something about when you're trying to sing a song and the song is already going up and you're trying to catch up with the music. See, God is getting the church to that place where the song is already happening. Before you even open your mouth, before they get up here to play, the song is already coming forth. Are you with me? There's singing hearts already happening as they come in the room. I enter in with thanksgiving. I come through the doors thankful. I hear you singing all the way over there. I know a singing heart when I hear one. Are you with me? Say, He will pour it out. That was prophesied before Jesus came. There's something happening that's going to come forth, and it's going to change the expression of the church forever. This outpouring was not for just the book of Acts. Somebody said, when it comes out of him, I'm going to get it. It's talking about really connecting with God. And I was thinking about how my princess, my little daughter, no matter where I am, she comes boldly. I'm in a restroom, boom, the door flies open. She's not asking, she's not knocking, she's not saying, Lord, if it be your daddy, if it be your will. She's not saying, no. I mean, even if she get disciplined, 5 minutes later, the door swings open. Are you with me? That's the kind of boldness God's looking for. If you don't see God the Father like that, you need your eyes fixed. So many times we've heard this angry God, this disciplined God that's preaching at us, and we form this vision of God that he's disappointed, that he's distant, that he's ready to drop a fire on our head, or that he puts us on probation. You're going to be in prison for 6 months, and when you come out, we'll see how much you're worthy of my love. You know, you did nothing, and God said, I want you. There's something about being wanted. See, when you know that you're wanted, it unifies the bride. It unifies the people under love. It unifies you when you rightfully see what love is. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Say, pour it on me. Peter was preaching in the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 36. This always hits my heart and caused my heart to burn and get stirred up. He says, let Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, somebody said they heard it, they were cut at the heart, and they said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? There's something happened when you hear and see the Messiah in his rightful place, that he died for your sins, and you see that it is him that who had the perfect life, and yet he was crucified. It causes you to push everything in and say, God, what can I do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive, somebody say, the gift. The gift, not a gift. He didn't say you'll get something from God. No, he said you will get the gift. And what's this gift? The gift of the Holy Spirit. When God steps in, he brings everything I need. Healing, power, victory. We sing, you know it. So it's not like God's going to forget something when he shows up. Oh man, I left that up in heaven. I'll come back tomorrow with your blessing. That's not how God is. When matter of fact, God can't go nowhere. He can't go nowhere because he's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. He's waiting on you to step in. When I step in, he's got everything I need. That's how the song should go. Because he's waiting on us. Are you with me? If you see cancer, get it out of here. Are you with me? It's already in the place. Healing is already here. Deliverance is already here. He's waiting on the person that needs delivered to wake up to the vision of it. And that's why when you hear dynamic preaching, you hear things coming from the pulpit, you got to say, God, that's mine. God, that's mine. I received that. You got to learn how to receive without the devil telling you you're not worthy. Are you with me? I don't care what you did 5 minutes ago. You know, God's not like us. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you right now. I love my wife. She said, don't you say nothing about me tomorrow. Last night, I don't know what I did. But she looked over at me in the bedroom and she said, don't you say nothing about me tomorrow. She was mad at me. I was on probation. I woke up. I got that fixed quick. Are you with me? I said, you know, whatever it is, let me go ahead and fix that out. She's like, you haven't been loving me this week. Oh, let me fix that. Let me remove whatever the thing is that's stepping on the air hose. Are you with me? That's the only, when God point out something, he's not pointing out to be angry at you. He's saying you're stepping on the connection. There's something that's stepping on the connection. He says, let's remove that. You get the flow that you need. Those that like the garden, you got that hose that you're pulling out right now. It's got 15 knots in it. I don't know. You can wrap it up in the last year, but when you pull it out, it's got 15 knots for some reason. I don't know. But you turn the water on, the water just shooting. It's not coming out. Why? There's knots. But the moment you straighten all that out, are you with me? The water, the pressure just flies out of there. That's what's going on in the body right now. God is straightening out the knots. He's straightening out where we have put the knots in. There's a picture of the church that so many are gravitating to that's not the picture of God. The picture that we try to build from is the outer courts, inner court, the Holy of the Holy, the tabernacle of Moses, where the outer courts is where most of the people were. The inner courts is where the Levites, the priest was. And then the one high priest would go before the God. That's not the picture of the church. That's not the picture that God wants of the church. There is a tabernacle of David that God says, I'm going to rebuild. And that tabernacle was one court, his presence, and everybody came in. Are you with me? Everybody came in and everybody lifted up God. There was prophetic worship going on. There was prophetic singing going on. There was encounters. There was musicians. There were people worshiping God on instruments and worshiping him with dancing. And there was prophetic songs going out that was prophesying Jesus coming and prophesying what's going to happen in the next century. Are you with me? There was things going on that was being downloaded from heaven to the hearts of people, and people were singing it back to God. They were agreeing with with God and it was going forth. If you want to know how you shift America and the countries around America, it's done from places like this. It's done from places where people are packed in around the throne of God and say, God, is you and you alone. It's not about what Pastor Derek or Pastor Jim or Pastor Sean is saying. It's not about what's going on the platform. The great songs is wonderful. But what about the saints that loved you before the instruments? What about those that died with no air-conditioned buildings and they were still praising your name? You were still worthy of it all. I want to tap into that type of believer. When the air conditioning shuts off, my praise don't go down. Are you with me? Something happens when your environment is shifted. Are you with me? I love how the worship went today. I didn't talk to the praise team, but we both were talking to God. See, you don't have to try to make it happen. If you're listening to God, God is saying, I want to do this, and I want you to say that, and I want this to happen because I got Michael coming. You know you're always on his mind? He knows who's going to come in here. He knows who's going to watch on there. God knows what's happening before it even happens. There's nothing he can do because he finished it all. It is already finished. He's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. He's saying, if you believe this, you will receive it. He don't have to get up and do anything. There's nothing you're going to say going to get him up. He's seated at the right hand of the Father until the Father releases him. Are you with me? He said, when he says it's finished, he already looked at the beginning, went to the end, and said, boom, I finished it all. He finished your life before he started you. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. He said, I got a destiny for you. He spoke your destiny while you were, before you even came screaming to the world, he said, this is going to be her destiny. This is going to be his destiny. This is the place he's going to go. This is the places he's going to encounter. He already said everything about you, and he's reading the chapters of a book like he's reading it for the first time. My little princess, she can watch the same movie 1,000 times. And even sing along and say every word of the music and the song like it's like you know she heard it 1,000 times, but she's enjoying it like it's the first time. That's how God is with us. He knows your story. We're about to get to the good part. This is where he stumps on the devil's head. Oh, let me read it for the first time. So he's reading your chapters. And he's loving it. He said, oh, this is where he believed me. This is where she trusted me. This is where I was, where they know me as El Shaddai. This is where I was the powerful God in that person's life. This is where I became their Prince of Peace. You know, he loves our story. I look back at some of my, I'm like, God, that was a stressful moment. See, nothing, you don't have a good movie or a good book if there's not that type of stuff. Are you with me? You know what I'm talking about. You like those good books, but we don't want to live them. God, I don't want to live that. In this life, you will have tribulation. Somebody said tribulation. You're going to be dealing with 3 things at the same time all the time. God is going to cause you to be a manager of your emotions. You know, when Jesus showed up to the town, he had everybody's emotions. Everybody was pulling on Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Everybody's calling Jesus. And if he thought like us, we'd be like, time out. Time out. I haven't even got to my room. But somehow he knew how to manage all this. He knew how to, he was in perfect, are you with me? He was anchored. I think it's where he went. Because after he had encounters, he would always disappear. When he go a place, he go away, he will get connected to the Father, and he will be downloaded. Everything will be pulled off and put in and realigned. And that's what's happening from this place here at Zion. Are you with me? Psalms chapter 150 says, praise God, in verse 1, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him, for he is mighty, for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his exceeding greatness. And verse 3-5 says, praise him with instruments and dancing. But then he says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath in your body? Yes. Are you breathing? Yes. Is your baby breathing? Yes. You know, there's something happened when everything that has breath begins to lift up God and talk about who he is. These songs that went forth today was positioning us to have an encounter that will release what's in us, that will be a response to what's happening in heaven. What's going on at God's, you know, Jesus didn't do anything on his own. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. Are you with me? There's a reason you have to have these encounters with God, because you're going to be doing what you see the Father doing. You know, he's always healing. Oh, man. He never, Jesus tapped into that. He says, Lord, when I show up, everybody's getting some. He rolled his sleeves up in the spirit and say, I'm going to black the devil's eye today. When I show up, you know, Jesus don't even open his mouth. The devil starts to shake. He shakes with anticipation of coming out. He starts to sit back and is like, oh, God, I hope that they don't know who they are. I hope they rather go to doctors, this person, before they come to Jesus, because I have time if I go to doctor first. You know, Jesus never argued with the devil. Reading the Bible, there wasn't 15,000 words he said before the devil came out. The devil plead his case. He said, come out of him. I don't even think he raised his voice. He didn't drop no sweat. It wasn't no sweat to kick a devil out of your body. It wasn't no sweat to see somebody get healed. He just looked at you and said, oh, I see a deformity. You be healed. Somebody gonna catch this. When I walk through the house, I see my little princess walking like me. When you see your daddy in heaven doing it, who you his children. You know the greater works? I love greater works. When I look at Jesus, I say, Jesus, you did that. I'm going to do it just like that. I remember when I was in Bible college, I would tell somebody, they say, pray for me. I say, in the name of Jesus, let your left leg be healed. And they look at me like, well, you got to do more than that. Why? Jesus didn't. The problem is not what I'm saying, it's what you're believing. If you put God in a box, you'll never get him out of that box. He's not a jack in a box. He said, I'm the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. If I believe that it's all his, guess what? It's all his. And if it's all his, guess what? It's all mine. I'm part of the family. You don't believe it. He told Adam, have dominion. Somebody said, God gave me dominion. You know what? God can't violate his word. He said, I gave man dominion, so I got to come to be legal in this world through a man. So let me get born, coming through this earth as a baby. Now I got a legal suit to operate on this earth. And out of this legal suit, I'm going to tell the devil to shut his mouth. See, the devil wants you to think that you're just this little blow-up doll that got, if you get a hole poked in it, you will never hold air again. Somebody going to catch this. You're built like your daddy. You're built like Abba. See, if the devil knew what he was doing, he would have let Jesus alone. Because if he knew that if he killed Jesus, he got to deal with the Christ. You know, Christ didn't die. Somebody going to catch this. God is spirit. And those that worship him must worship him where? In spirit and where? See, we got the truth down, but we struggle with the spirit part. We want to filter God through our mind. And God said, no, your mind is submitted to who I am. I am spirit. You are a spirit man first. You possess a soul. You live in this body. Tell your body to shut up and listen to God. Tell your mind to shut up and listen to God. I need to take my medicine because I'm depressed. No, you need to get in the face and say, God, heal me of this depression. Bring me out of this darkness. Bring me out of this fog. I got places to go. I got a calling on my life. I got children to bless. I got a neighborhood that needs fixed. When God say old things pass away, that's all old things. Say, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Somebody say now. You know what now is? Now is this moment, this present time. If you think this second is just now, you're in the past. God is moving always. Somebody's going to catch this. Now is always moving. Now is not just stuck in this very second, because if I stay stuck here, I'm now in the past. See, now faith is one here and one where you're going. One here, one where you're going. You're always moving forward with faith. You don't stop. Oh, man, somebody going to catch it. You're going to catch on fire today. Somebody going to have a real new birth. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. Lord says to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord is saying. Let my people go that they may build me a house, get rich, have children. To do what? So first, he says, release them to worship or serve me. So the first thing on God's mind is having an encounter with who he is. Without the encounter, church would just be business to me. I will be texting while worship's going on. I'll be looking at my clock while praise, while the preaching's going on. But when it's an encounter, my God, it changes everything about you. You notice that they couldn't get that encounter in Egypt? He said, let them go. Get them out of the place where they were being slaved and where they were living less than and where they were believing less than. He says, get them out, and they go. Go where? He didn't tell them that. He just said, go. God is leading you, but first you got to have the faith to leave what is oppressing you. I know you want to heal people at the bars, but if you're struggling being an alcoholic, you might want to go. Are you with me? God says, you're thinking about surviving, but I'm thinking about you thriving. He's trying to shift your mind from the oppression to being Holy Ghost possessed. As I was in prayer, I had a vision of Zion, and I saw a line that went around the building. And in this line, people were getting dunked in the water. And I said, God, what are you showing me? He said, there's people that have done baptism and things like that because it was protocol, things they thought was something to do in order. But they haven't done it out of encounter. God says that there's 50 people that he wants this fresh fire to fall on them. And this fire that's going to fall on them, they're going to make a public declaration with the baptism of who he is in their life. Something happens through baptism. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened. The Spirit descended. We all know the Holy Spirit is already here. He never left. But the Father spoke. He declared who he was. He said, this is my beloved Son. Are you with me? God said, I'm going to open the heavens. When they come out of the water, they're going to see the heavens open over their life. He's not opening them, they're open. They're going to hear my voice like never before in their life. Are you with me? I just sense that this year was a tough time for so many people. All the questions, everything hitting you in 2024. But it's trying to shift you from the one thing that's very important in your life. There's one thing that we all need. That's Him. If it's not Him, then we're missing what church is about. I want everyone to close their eyes, no one looking around. If you know that you've been doing church as usual, just getting up, doing it, program, or if you feel yourself, you can be in a godly relationship with your wife or husband, but you still feel like you're in a cave. You feel like I'm like shut in. God's going to release a fire over your life that's going to open your eyes of your understanding. You're going to be able to see the kingdom, the width, the length. You're going to see all that God has for you through this season of your life. And if you want to hear God like you never before, or if you want to hear Him for the first time, I want you right there where you're seated to stand to your feet. And if you're watching online, stand in your living room. God's not looking for somebody that just says, I'm going to go through the motions and leave out of here the same way I left, that I came in. But I want somebody that will say, I'm going to take my little that I have and push it all in. Right now, God is showing you where what the item is that was stepping on the air hose and was limiting what He's trying to provide to you. Holy Spirit, remove it now. Replace it with more of you today. God is never in a hurry. He's always on time. I see somebody's feet right now just turn into like flames of fire. Your feet are on fire like shiny brass right now. There's a fire that's being ignited on somebody's heart right now. Holy Spirit, fan that flame right now. I'm going to show you things that your eyes haven't seen nor your ears heard. But right now, what's about to enter in your heart right now, I withhold nothing good. I withhold nothing that's mine that I'm giving to you. And that fire that's on your heart, that's my presence in your heart. Old things have passed away. Now these new things are coming forth in your life. Through new lenses, you'll see your destiny. I rebuke all sickness and disease, all infirmities. Right now, go. Every lie, go. When the high priest was anointed, he was smeared with oil. It ran down his garments, down to the hem. The weight of the oil was so heavy, it covered down to the floor, and there was an aroma all over him. There's a fragrance that's coming off of you. That's the smell of the oil that you've been in the presence of God. Father, I thank you for their lives. In the name of Jesus. I want everybody that will make a declaration that I'm going to push everything in and I'm going to start with a new water baptism. I don't care if you've been baptized before in the past. Some of your kids need to see you doing it. Some of your kids need to see that mama and daddy are taking this commitment serious. I want you to lift your hand if that's you. We're going to do it next week. While worship is going on, we're going to do it next week. While the heavens is open, while the songs are going forth, while the song that you sing to God, you're going to hear the song of him singing to you. You are my beloved. You are mine. I don't want you to run out the building. We're not about to close, but we're about to just move on. I don't ever want to close the book of me loving God. But I want everyone that will make a declaration, both young and old, that tomorrow, next Sunday, God, you're going to mark my heart and you're going to be a part of this service where in worship I'm going to get baptized. I want to get all of your names and number. We're going to put some pressure on Sean. There's a, right here, Zion Equipped, up here. Thank you, guys. If you don't give me your name, go on here and tell your family and your friends we're getting wet next Sunday. Because if I get wet, I'm going to get on fire. You don't have to wait for the fire. It's already going. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for our lives. We thank you for each one of their lives today. I thank you that you love each soul in here with your whole heart. And I thank you that you're more than enough. You're too much, your overflow. I thank you for our young adults. I thank you for the well. I thank you for those young men and women that you have called to be world changers. I thank you for the next political leaders are coming out of Zion. They're coming from playing with toys, and they're going to write the laws that change America. I thank you for husbands and wives that are committed and sold out to you, God. And we ask you in Jesus' name, that, amen. If you prayed and you're the first time encountering God and you want to know more about him, and I want to get you plugged in. I want you to meet up here on my left, your right, our good friends, Tiffany and Chris, two of the most loving people I know. I want you to go over there and introduce yourself to them, and they're going to take down your information because we want to hold on. We want to fan that flame that's in your life. We don't want you to just have an encounter and go out the door and say, that was great. But we want to help you steward that flame in your heart. and get you connected and get you in places that will watch you grow and blossom and bloom and be all that God called you to be and your family to be. Amen. We have ministry teams that's coming up here to the front, and they're going to be here to pray with you and lock arms with you. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter where you're going on, what's going on or where you've been in your life, come up here and meet them. They're going to agree with you that the power of the Holy Spirit will flow through you. And my wife and I will be over here at I'm New. And if you didn't know, I'm not Jim. I'm his other brother. I'm his brother from another mother, but the same father. Somebody going to catch that. But we'll be over here at the I'm New representing Jim here at our at the front here. So let's stand to our feet and we'll be dismissed. The ministry team can come on up. We love you guys. Lord, we love you. We leave this place, but never from your presence. We thank you for the certain people in need that you that you're setting up with us to have an encounter through the week. Give us words of wisdom to speak to their life. Let them see you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.